It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Friday, July 23rd, 2021. We have 14 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwest winds to 5 knots, rising to 5 to 10 in the afternoon, gusting to 15 knots later on in the day. Wind waves from the northwest, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, and northwest swells 2 feet at 6 seconds. And today I'm going to answer a listener question. Well, actually, a local tug captain, retired tugboat captain, will do that, about tugboats and barges and what happens if a tug loses power when it's towing barges. And it's similar to what happens if a ship loses power, and sometimes ship engines quit. And that can be a really adrenaline-producing situation for everyone on board. So it's kind of a story about people having to be ready for anything, which is what most mariners are anyway. And that's why so many, why we don't hear about that many problems, because a lot of people are just ready to handle anything and do when it comes up. But let's talk about our Columbia River ship schedule first. We have 4 inbounders. We have 8 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 2 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. And I have 1 ship I want to tell you about that will be in Astoria tomorrow. But first, let's see, the Osprey Arrow coming into the river this morning. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30, arriving from Japan, headed for Vancouver's anchorage. She'll be up probably passing Astoria around 9:30 a.m., in Vancouver Anchorage by about 3:30, and she'll be going to the Port of Portland to pick up soda ash eventually. The T-Rex is arriving from Sacramento. She's headed to Portland to a lay berth. She may be going there to wait. A lay berth is kind of like a parking space for a ship. Maybe she's waiting for repairs or something like that. Not quite sure, but that she's going to a berth that is a place where a ship can kind of pull over and park if it needs to wait. So not necessarily loading cargo. The Ohio is arriving from Anacortes, headed for Portland. She's carrying refined petroleum. She'll probably pass Astoria inbound around maybe 9 o'clock. And take her about 6 hours to get up to Portland. Maybe 8 hours, depending on how far up the Willamette River she goes. The ATB Gulf Reliance is arriving from Anacortes. She's also a petroleum carrier. She's an ATB rig, as I talked about those yesterday, articulated tug and barge rig, kind of a modern twist on the tug and barge model of a tug towing the barge. In this case, the tug and the barge are attached together. A ship coming into Astoria tomorrow, the Pride of America. I talked about her earlier. She is slated to arrive at the port of Astoria probably in mid-afternoon tomorrow. She's coming from the shipyard in Swan Island. She's a cruise ship, and she's probably going to be, from what I understand, is going to be stored at the port of Astoria, kind of like that other cruise ship was earlier during the pandemic. So she is a ship that usually operates in Hawaii. So she is a U.S. flag, big cruise ship. She was up at the port of, shipyard in Swan Island in Portland. She came downriver last week and earlier this week and went out to sea. And now she has gone back up to the shipyard. I'm going to make a wild guess and say maybe sea trials on repairs she had, but at any rate, don't really know. But she is supposed to be back tomorrow at the port of Astoria, maybe there for the duration while she is stored there by the company. We have the heading in our Astoria anchorages. We have the SFL Kent, the Avoicos Theo, the Anahita, the Artemis Bulker, the Priscilla Venture, the Pan Diva, the STH Athens, and the SITC Hengshan. All those ships are awaiting orders. They will head upriver to pick up their own cargoes eventually. And we will just have to wait and see when they do eventually leave. Some of them may be waiting for berths to open up or maybe waiting to pass different inspections that happen out in the anchorage. And in our outbounders, we have the Global Serenity leaving Portland, I believe. Looks like she left early this morning. Could be passing outbound any minute now. The Port Phillip leaving Portland with cement. Well, she came in, I think, with cement on board. So leaving about 4 p.m., maybe passing Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. Well, I had a listener question recently about someone who saw a tug go by towing a couple barges on the river. And they had a question about what happens if that tug loses power. And this is somewhat similar to if a ship loses power. But I went and asked a person I know, who I've known for years, who is a retired tugboat captain. He used to do this kind of work up and down the coast here. Phil Martin from Long Beach Peninsula, very kindly, I got on the phone with him yesterday and just asked him this question, what do you do? And you know, you might like to think that there's, you know, you open up the policy manual and on page 12, there is, what do you do if this happens? And basically what you do is you assess the situation and figure out what to do as it happens. Here's Phil Martin.
Really doesn't matter whether you're towing one barge, two barges, or 10. You're in trouble. As far as towing a barge or two barges and losing power, really all you can do is hope that, one, you can steer, and therefore steer away from the direction that barges are moving. And that depends on tide and current. And the rest of it is pray. I had this particular situation happen to me about 20 miles northeast Coos Bay. Calm day. And the barge finally got right up to the stern of the tug, and we had moved when we lost the bar, or when we lost power. I turned port because there was kind of a offshore breeze, not much, and the barge just decided to follow us no matter that we turned or not.
So let me elaborate a little more on that. So there's a big difference between what the current, and so depending on what the current is doing, what the winds are doing. If this were happening out in the ocean, you have a lot more leeway, obviously a lot more room. But the idea is not to let the barge creep up and smash into the tug and perhaps sink it or seriously damage it. So when, so now if you are able to turn, sometimes when vessels lose power, they're still able to get some ability to turn because they're still moving, you might be able to get out of that line of movement and prevent the barge from hitting the vessel. So it becomes kind of a survival situation, and people will deal with it. There's a big difference, say, if you're coming down river with the current, or if you're going up a river against the current, and how you would handle a situation like this. If you're going up a river against the current, you have a little bit of braking ability from the water streaming against the vessel and the tug. If you're going down river on an ebb, say, that makes it much more dangerous. So, you know, this is the kind of thing, it doesn't happen all the time, but people are ready to handle it. If you're in the river, you might be able to throw out an anchor on the tug itself, but it could be a potentially really dangerous situation, and it is a moment-to-moment thing on deciding exactly how you're going to handle it. So you've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day. I am taking next week off, and so you'll be hearing interviews that I did from an archive interview from 2009 with a Coast Guard rescue swimmer. I did this interview here at the Air Station Astoria. A lot of great stuff that you'll hear next week, so I hope you enjoy that, and I'll be back the following week. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend and week.